الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to EDARS.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد. Respected brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you once again to this daily program, daily dars, discourse, show, whatever you want to call it, on the topic of Muslim manners, Islamic manners, manners of a Muslim male and a female, Islamic etiquette, adab and adab that we've been discussing, talking about for the past few days. For those of you following this program, you may know that I am going through a book titled Min Adab al-Islam in Arabic. It's a book called Min Adab al-Islam in Arabic, which I believe has also been translated into English by the title Muslim Manners. So inshallah, the people who've been following me know that we've been discussing quite a few issues for the past few days. I talked about the word adab linguistically, what it means, technically what it means, the importance of adab, the importance of having good manners in one's life. We also talked about then we went on to the book. We also talked about the biography of the author. The author of this book is a famous scholar called Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. And we started the book by discussing, firstly, the scope of Islamic manners, which means that the author was discussing the virtues of Islamic manners, the importance of it, and the scope of it. And he explained to us that these etiquettes and these adab, they cover every aspect of a Muslim's life. They cover every aspect of our lives. And they relate to both. They male, female, the young, the old, they relate to all Muslims. And then he also said that they relate to men and women, and by men and women Islam is introduced. And if you remember, I discussed the importance of us acting as good Muslims, as good citizens, because that will have an impact on the non-Muslims around us. And Islam is identified and introduced through the Muslims. The way we act, people will actually have the way we'll act will have a positive or a negative impact on the non-Muslims around us. And then the author also discussed the point that these adab and these etiquettes and these manners are not something that you do on the side. They are not on the margin of Islam. Rather, they form the central part of the teachings of Sharia and the central part of the teachings of Islam and the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. Hence, there are these adab and these etiquettes are very important. And he also mentioned that some of them seem very simple, basic, obvious manners. But even though they seem very obvious and basic, they are nevertheless very important, and many of us are neglectful regarding them, and many of us do not give attention and importance to these etiquettes. And also the author mentioned, this is just an overview, he also mentioned that if a person implements these etiquettes in his or her life, they will become beloved to the people, that their personality will become beloved, people will like them. It will enhance that person's internal beauty, increase that person's internal beauty. The jamal, the beauty of the person will be increased. If a person has a good character about them, they are humble, nice, polite, always smiling, then you know that person is that person will naturally be loved by the people. And this was the reason why the Messenger, one of the reasons why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was loved by the people around him. And Allah mentions that in the Quran, and I explained this in detail, I think, 2 days ago. And then yesterday we talked about probably the first etiquette, which is the etiquette, the adab of appearance, external appearance, the importance of having a neat dress, the importance of remaining clean and pure, and also I mentioned that, look, a person's external appearance reflects their personality. And we mentioned the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he who advised his companions as they were leaving, departing, he said, look, put on your nice clothes and fix your saddles. And I mentioned that this aslihu rihalakum, fixing your saddles, indicates that we should make sure and ensure that our means of transport, like cars, should also remain clean and not filthy and dirty. This is the adab and etiquette. Our houses should be clean, our cars should be clean, our clothes should be clean, we should dress neatly, we should dress tidily. And I also mentioned about, applying perfume, and that is a form of charity. It's sadaqah. Remember, a human being likes to see that which is good and likes to smell that which is good. A human being is attracted by good smell and good appearance. And if we are to have an impact, and if we are to have some sort of effect on other people, and not just affect an impact, to make other people around us feel nice, we want them to feel nice. And the only way that could happen is that if they look at us and they feel good, if you see a presentable individual in front of them, good perfume is considered to be charity. But remember, these are general guidelines. Yes, there are specific rules and details, like, for example, for females in Islam, there's a clear, explicit ruling that if a female was to go into the midst of males and men, then she is not allowed to apply perfume. It's actually a major sin. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, أَيُّمَا إِمْرَأَةٍ إِسْتَعْطَرَتْ فَمَرَّتْ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ لِيَجِدُوا رِيحَهَا فَهِيَ كَذَا وَكَذَا قَالَ قَوْلًا شَدِيدًا. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith that if a woman applies perfume on herself, on her body, and then she passes by directly in, men and males, in order that they smell her good perfume, then she is cursed. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said she's like this and she's like that, and he used qawlan shadeed and stern words. This is the hadith of Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullah. So women, of course, it's haram and sinful for them to go and apply perfume and go outside of the house and emerge out of the house. It's a major sin, which there is no difference of opinion regarding. So these are general guidelines, but generally it's important for a man, for a woman, especially if you are married, then it's important for the husband and the wife both to ensure that they remain clean, they remain, pure, their mouth is clean, they don't have bad odor coming out from their mouth, from their body. And sometimes, unfortunately, men think that only women and the wives have to make sure that they look after themselves, and the man thinks that, I can stay in whatever state I can, it's not a problem, it doesn't matter, I'm a man. That's wrong. Just like a man has feelings, the wife actually has more feelings, and she's more sensitive, right? And we need to understand that and realize that. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Abbas, the famous companion, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, there's a statement he used to say, إِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَتَزَيَّنَ لِإِمْرَأَتِي كَمَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ تَتَزَيَّنَ لِي. إِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَتَزَيَّنَ لِإِمْرَأَتِي كَمَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ تَتَزَيَّنَ لِي. I like to adorn myself for my wife just like I want my wife to adorn herself for me. It works both ways, brothers and sisters, okay? Husbands and wives. It works both ways. Just like the husband wants that his wife adorns herself, remains clean for him, he has to also remain clean. Okay, yes, without a doubt, there are levels. The woman has more means of adornment. Without a doubt, a woman has more forms of adornment. And there's more emphasis. But the man as well, to a certain degree, at least cleanliness, purity, purification, tahara, nadafa, not just that he's, you know, got dirty, filthy clothes all the time, or he's got bad odor, smell coming out from his body, his mouth is giving out offensive smell. This is wrong, and Islamically, this is against the adab and etiquette taught by the beloved of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know the hadith, I quoted this hadith yesterday. The Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, was asked, بِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ كَانَ يَبْدَأُ النَّبِيَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam إِذَا قَامَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what would he do first thing when he used to wake up from his sleep? She said, كَانَ يَبْدَأُ بِالسِّوَاكِ. He used to start off with brushing his teeth and his mouth. يَشُوصُ فَاهُ بِالسِّوَاكِ. He used to literally, you know, use that toothstick, that siwak, and he used to rub it on his tongue, yashusu, which means, you know, sort of scrubbing the mouth and the tongue. It's not just for the teeth. And there are many hadiths in regarding to being clean and pure. So I don't want to carry on with this etiquette, because we talked about this etiquette, which is the importance of appearance, importance of remaining neat, clean, tidy, ensuring cleanliness and purity on one's body, one's clothes, one's house, one's car, one's means of transport, and just literally, you know, having this good dignity around you, okay? Now, the author moves on to the next etiquette, which we will inshallah discuss today, and maybe the one after that as well. These are beautiful manners and mannerisms and etiquettes and adabs. Simple adab, simple, you know, etiquettes, simple, you know, guidance. But subhanallah, they sometimes we don't even give, we overlook them. They're extremely important, simple but extremely important. Okay, so the author of this book, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, who's passed away, and I did mention his biography, as you know. He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in this book which I have in front of me, Min Adab al-Islam, he says, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ دَارَكَ أَوْ خَرَجْتَ مِنْهَا فَلَا تَدْفَعْ بِالْبَابِ دَفْعًا عَنِيفًا أَوْ تَدَعْهُ يَنْغَلِقُ لِذَاتِهِ بِشِدَّةٍ وَعُنْفٍ فَإِنَّ هَذَا مُنَافٍ لِلُطْفِ الْإِسْلَامِ الَّذِي تَتَشَرَّفُ بِالْإِنْتِسَابِ إِلَيْهِ بَلْ أَغْلِقْهُ بِيَدِكَ إِغْلَاقًا رَفِيقًا وَلَعَلَّكَ سَمِعْتَ مَا رَوَتْهُ السَّيِّدَةُ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا مِنْ قَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ. This is a paragraph, 5 lines in Arabic, mentioning one adab etiquette, extremely important etiquette. It's the etiquette, the law, or the ruling regarding opening a door and closing the door, shutting the door. In other words, when a person enters or leaves the house, and not just the house, from one room to another room, from whether you're at your workplace, in the masjid, at the factory, at the workplace, wherever you are, leaving or entering, exiting or entering. This adab is regarding entering or exiting. Basically, it's about how we should open or close the door. Okay? Very basic stuff, but seriously, many of us don't even think about this. We don't think this is something to do with Islam. Look, what does the author say here, rahimahullah? The Shaykh says, when you enter a house, when you enter your house, or when you leave, when you exit your house, do not push the door, violently, forcefully, anifan, anif in Arabic means forcefully, violently. Don't push the door when you're entering or when you're leaving, exiting. Don't push the door violently. Number one. So that's wrong, okay? Why? Because it's going to harm people. you know, you go from one room to another violently, forcefully, with a lot of force, you open the door or you shut the door, bang, you know, shut the door. That's wrong, okay? Even the front door, banging it, somebody may be sleeping in the house, your parents might be sleeping, your father might be sleeping, your wife might be sleeping, your children may be sleeping, your brothers, your siblings, people may be sleeping at home, right? And not just sleeping, it's just you might frighten someone, somebody might think, what's happened here? So some people might have a very soft heart, you know. So ensuring that we don't harm anybody, we must make sure that we don't bang the door. We don't shut the door or open it forcefully. And he also says, and neither leave it to shut on its own with violence, violently and forcefully. بِشِدَّةٍ وَعُنْفٍ, with extremeness and with violence. So there's two things here. One is that don't shut the door intentionally, deliberately, don't bang it. And number two, somebody might say, okay, you know, I just leave it, and the door has such a, you know, kind of spring to it, or the way the door is, that it just bangs by itself. That's wrong as well. It's actually our responsibility that we ensure that once we are entering the door, if we know that this door, if I was to leave this door, it's just going to go bang, okay, then it's my responsibility that I make sure that I hold the door and slowly, calmly shut it and close it. Don't say it's not my fault, it's this, you know, the spring in the door or whatever. Don't blame it on the air and the wind. It was too windy. If you know that it's windy, you know that if you leave the door, it's going to shut violently and forcefully. Then it's your responsibility, brother, sister, that you ensure that you do not let the door, you know, bang and close forcefully. So these are two things, very important. And then he says, because in hadha munafin li lutfi al-Islam, because this, doing so, you know, shutting the door violently or letting it shut by itself violently, this goes against the gracefulness, the lutf, the gentleness, the politeness, which Islam teaches. It goes against, because Islam teaches us to be gentle. Islam teaches us to be calm. Islam teaches us to be collective. Islam teaches us to be extremely casual. Okay, that's what Islam teaches, and that's how our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Look at the seerah, pick up the books of seerah, pick up the books of shama'il. Shama'il means those books that discuss the characteristics of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the characteristics of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Pick them up, see how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would behave, how he would walk, how he would talk, how he would have a conversation with someone, how he would always smile with people. I mentioned it 3 days ago. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a sahabi called Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajali radiyallahu anhu. What does he say? ما حجبني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم منذ أسلمت ولا رآني إلا تبسم في وجهي. Subhanallah. I've mentioned this hadith so many times. It just, every time you mention this, this is the sunnah. You know, we know all the sunnahs. Alhamdulillah, we know the sunnah of wearing the imama and the beard and this and that. And they are important, okay? They are important. Please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say or take things out of context. These are important things, but where is this sunnah of the smile gone today, brothers and sisters? It's equally important, if not more, because the huququl ibad, equally important, being reserved and, you know, grumpy is not the teachings of Islam, regardless of how pious or how knowledgeable you may be. That's not what Islam teaches. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would embrace everyone and anyone. And this is what's mentioned in the Quran. Allah says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. It was because of the gentleness of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of his mercy and his rahmah. People around him, you know, they were pulled and attracted to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, they would have left him. Allah mentions this in the Quran. لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. So we have forgotten these sunan of character, of gentleness, of politeness, of calmness, of gracefulness. You know, not recently, I think a few months ago, I had a talk somewhere in another city, not in Leicester, in another city of England. You know, people are listening from the other cities as well. So there was a city where one of the brothers actually said, it was in Manchester, and they were arranging a talk for me. The title, so this was, I think, a few months ago. The title they suggested was something, but I said to them that, look, I feel that we should change the title. And what I suggest is, I actually want to do a talk on just smiling. I said, look, you know what the title of the talk will be? Smiling the Forgotten Sunnah. Smiling the Forgotten Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine, it's the Forgotten Sunnah. Do we think about smiling to be as equally important as wearing the turban on the head? Do we think, okay, forget the turban, do you know the smiling is as equally important sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam like keeping a beard? It's the same. Okay, you know, the ulama have said that the keeping a beard is wajib, but in terms of sunnah, Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do all these things. He would smile at people, he would be open, he would be calm towards them. And this is what he's teaching in this hadith. Islam teaches lutf, gracefulness. So the Shaykh is saying here, the author, rahimahullah, he said, look, this closing and shutting the door violently goes against this lutf, this gracefulness that Islam teaches. And this is the Islam that you, الَّذِي تَتَشَرَّفُ بِالْإِنْتِسَابِلِ, you are honored to belong to. You are honored. You have a privilege. You are privileged and you are honored that you belong to Islam. You are attributed, you are referred to Islam. Your intisab, your connection, your relationship is with Islam. And this is the religion that you yourself attribute yourself to. So if you have this honor of being connected to the religion of Islam, then practice the teachings of Islam, which is of lutf, of gentleness. And then he carries on and he says, look, so yeah, don't do these two things. You know, the door, don't shut it violently. Do not leave it so that by itself, the door, you know, just shuts, bangs. But rather, what does a Muslim do? What does a Muslim female and male do? What does a Muslim brother, sister do? What do? If they are Muslims, then this is what they do. He says, rather, close the door, shut the door, إغلاقاً رفيقاً, calmly. The word رفيق, you know, in Arabic, the word رفيق, some people have this name رفيق, R-A-F-I-Q-U-E, I think, some people spell it, whatever spellings you spell. رفيق, in Arabic, it means, you know what it means? It means calmness, gentleness. And actually, it's one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ, there's a hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ فِي الْأَمْرِ كُلِّهِ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ فِي الْأَمْرِ كُلِّهِ, verily Allah is gentle, Allah is calm, and He likes this calmness and gentleness in everything. Okay, so here he says, close the door calmly, and then he says, وَلَعَلَّكَ سَمِعْتَ مَا رَوَتْهُ سَيِّدَ عَائِشَةَ, and you might have heard, he says, the Shaykh saying here, you might have heard the hadith which our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha has related from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the hadith which is recorded by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. This is the hadith in the book. إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. Verily, rifq. Rifq, see, it's from the word rafiq. Rafiq is the person who is gentle. And we have the root word, what we say, masdar, in Arabic. You know, we have, like, in those who know Arabic language, and many of you may be listening who know the Arabic language, we have masdar, which means the root word. In Arabic, like, we have, for example, the root word an-nasru, nasr. Nasr means assisting, helping, that's the root word. And then from there you have different words derived. So, you know, the helper, the fa'il is called nasir, the one who is helped, is called Mansur. So we have different past tense, present tense, the doer of the actual action. This is the Arabic language grammar, Nahw and Sarf anyway. But here, so the rifq is the root word. From there we have rafiq. So the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, verily rifq, verily gracefulness and gentleness is not found in anything except it adorns it. And neither is it taken away from anything except that it tarnishes it. Illa shanahu. Subhanallah, amazing hadith. Just consider and reflect on this hadith, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. What is our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying? He's saying that, you know, gentleness, calmness, whenever gentleness is found in something, then it adorns it. If you have a man or a woman who is gentle, if you have a man who is gentle, you know, gentleman. Do you know why we say gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen? Because men have to be gentle. Women are already gentle, right? So that's why they don't say it, maybe. But you have to, men have to be gentle, and that's why they say gentlemen, gentlemen. So a man who is not gentle and who thinks that aggressiveness is actually a sign of, yeah, power and, you know, then that's absolutely wrong. That's not what a man is about. And that's what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in hadith, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. Remember, you know, your power is not because of your, you know, physical power. The real powerful person and the real man is the one who is able to control himself at the time of anger. So this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ. Gentleness is never found in anything except that it adorns it. If it's found in something, then it will adorn it. It will make it look beautiful, handsome. If you have a man or a woman, if you have a human being that has gentleness in them, then they will externally, internally seem beautiful. This is the true beauty of the person. Calmness, composure, gentleness. Seriously, brothers and sisters, that's the real, real internal beauty. If a person is calm, collective, gentle, yes, of course, there are times when they need to, I'm not saying just all the time, you know, your house is burning or something, and you just say, oh, it's okay, calm, close, you know, something, your child is jumping into the fire, you say, no, it's okay, calm, I'm not saying that, okay? There are, of course, situations where you have to, you know, be a bit harsh, and there are situations, and we need to learn about those situations, and this is why we have a bit of anger created in us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we use it at the appropriate times. But generally the person is a gentleman, a gentlewoman. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, gentleness is never found except that it, if it is found, then it makes you beautiful. And then he says, it's never taken away except it tarnishes the thing. If gentleness is taken away from anybody, the way they close their door without gentleness, they shut the door, they bang the door violently, forcefully, you know, they just, the way they walk, the way they drive their car, they're just like aggressive men, then that person, his personality is tarnished. He doesn't seem, people don't look up to that person. People don't like that person. People, that person's personality becomes tarnished. You are not beautiful anymore. Right? You are not beautiful anymore. Now you've become ugly. And young people especially need to understand this, that look, you know, being aggressive is not, it's not something that's beautiful. You don't attract women because of your aggressiveness. Okay? And neither is your intention should be that you need to attract women anyway. But, you know, being all, I'm a man and aggressive, that's not what attracts people, anybody, men or women, human beings. People are attracted to your calmness, to your composure, to your gentleness, to your politeness. That's what people are attracted to in the eyes of the Sharia and in accordance to the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah mentions this in the Quran. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. The true servants of the Rahman, the All Merciful, are those who walk on the earth. You know how they walk? They walk on the earth calmly. يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. Surah Al-Furqan. Okay? And that's how our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. He was, you know, there's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد حياء من الأذراء في خدرها. وكان إذا كره شيئا عرفناه في وجهه سبحان الله. The messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was more shy, more bashful than a woman, a virgin woman in her chamber. You know, a virgin woman on the first night, I mean, you know, when she's married, a woman who's just newly married, she's extremely shy, she's bashful. A woman who's just, you know, she's shy from her husband. The hadith is saying the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was even more bashful and shy than that woman, you know, who's meeting her husband for the first time and never spoken to him. Not like women, you know, in some situations in today's society, in some situations, but in a situation where she's never met her husband. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more shy and more bashful than that woman. And then the Sahabi says, and when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he used to dislike something, we would know this from his face. He never had to say anything. He was so gentle, and if something upset him, then you could see from his face. Subhanallah. This was the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the summary or the khulasa of this etiquette, and then after that we'll take a short break and we'll go on to the next etiquette, is that we need to be considerate, we need to be kind, we need to be gentle, especially when closing the door and opening the door. We need to be quiet and we need to be considerate about other people. When entering a place, where especially when people are asleep, we should make sure that we do not do things that disturb people. Remember, you know, the Messenger, and I'll end with this one. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to wake up in the middle of the night for tahajjud salah, it's related in the hadith that he used to wake up and he used to walk by tiptoeing. Subhanallah. Imagine, he used to tiptoe. Reason being that because his wife Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha was sleeping and he never wanted to disturb her sleep. Today, if we wake up for tahajjud in the middle of the night for Salatul Layl, Qiyamul Layl, we'll make sure that we'll bring the whole house down. Everybody has, you know, we'll disturb everybody's sleep. This is not what Islam teaches. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to wake up, he used to ensure that he does not disturb anybody's sleep. So this is the hadith. Inna rifqa la yakunu fi shayni la zanahu wa la yunza'u min shayni la shanahu. And I also mentioned this hadith that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna Allah rafiqun yuhibbu rifqa fil amri kullihi." Verily, Allah is calm and gentle, and He likes calmness, gracefulness. Or Allah is graceful, and He loves gracefulness in all matters. Hadith mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So, and don't, brothers, don't, and sisters, don't restrict this to just closing and shutting the door. Just generalize this etiquette, this adab. Do not be considerate of the other people's feelings whenever, whatever we're doing, whether it's closing the door, shutting the door, even speaking. If you know that people are asleep in a room, then walk slowly, make sure your voice is extremely low, make sure that, you know, your voice is not loud so that it does not disturb other people's sleep. Just generally be considerate about the interests of others, inshallah. So we'll end with this right now. We'll take a short break and then I'll come back and we'll go into the next etiquette, the next adab, which is to do with salam, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome back, dear listeners. Inshallah, carrying on, and we move on to the next etiquette from the book Min Adab al-Islam, which is in Arabic, written by, it's more a booklet written by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda al-Halabi, rahimahullah, a great scholar from the Arab world, from Syria, specifically a city called Halab, Aleppo in Syria. And he's passed away, and a few days ago, I did mention his biography in detail, who he was and his teachers and his students and his books, etc. So before the break we discussed one of the etiquettes. This was actually etiquette number two. So if you want to, just if you don't have the book, which has been translated into English, I have the Arabic version in front of me, but it's been translated by the title, I think it's called Muslim Manners. But if you don't have the book, then if you remember, you know, the first adab or the first etiquette or the first characteristic was to do with good appearance, good physical appearance. And number two was about being considerate and being graceful, being calm, being collective, and specifically when opening or closing the door or shutting the door, when entering or when exiting, ensuring that we don't disturb anybody, we are considerate about other people's interests and other people's feelings, and we make sure that we don't close or shut the door forcefully, violently, rather it's all done in a gentle way. Now, the next adab, which we'll discuss in the next half an hour that we have before iftar, inshallah, is about salam, greeting. We all know the importance of the Islamic greeting. The Islamic greeting is unique, and the author, rahimahullah, here, first of all, let's read the text, what he says, and then we'll translate it and explain it, inshallah. He says, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ بَيْتَكَ أَوْ خَرَجْتَ مِنْهُ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَى مَنْ فِيهِ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى بِتَحِيَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعُنْوَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ ولا تعدل عن هذه التحية الإسلامية إلى غيرها من صباح الخير أو مرحبا أو نحوهما فإن عدولك عنها إلى غيرها إماتة لها وهي شعار الإسلام وعنوان المسلمين الذي رسمه لهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بقوله وفعله وعلمه لخادمه الجليل أنس قال أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا بني إذا دخلت على أهلك فسلم يكون بركة عليك وعلى أهلك رواه الإمام الترمذي في سننه وقال قتادة أحد أعلام التابعين الفضلاء إذا دخلت بيتك فسلم على أهلك فهم أحق من سلمت عليهم وقال أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا انتهى أحدكم إلى المجلس فليسلم فإذا أراد أن يقوم فليسلم فليست الأولى بأحق من الآخرة رواه الإمام الترمذي. Okay, that was two paragraphs in Arabic from the book that I have in front of me. What the author, Shaykh Rahimahullah, is saying here, he's talking about salam, as I said, the greeting of Islam. Islam has given us this unique way, brothers and sisters, of greeting one another. Okay? This relates back to what I was discussing a couple of days ago, and what the Shaykh, the author of the book, mentioned, that Islam has guidance and teachings even relating to the mundane basic aspects of our life. We have rules and etiquettes of going to the toilet and leaving the toilet and washing ourselves and cleansing ourselves. So Islam does not leave any area. Okay, because Islam is not just a religion. Rather, to say Islam is a religion is incorrect. Islam is a complete way of life. Right? Islam is a complete way of life. So Islam even teaches us how to greet one another. Unlike other religions and faiths, because they are what they are, religions and faiths. Okay? Very rarely you would have a religion that has teachings regarding how to go to the toilet, or maybe telling them that this is the way you greet and these are the words you say when you greet. We as Muslims, we have teachings in all areas. So even in greeting, Islam did not leave us from guiding us how to greet one another. Okay, there are many rules of salam which we cannot cover, because I want to complete this book and all the etiquette, so we cannot cover. I mean, there are rules of salam. How you say, what you say, who you say, when you don't say salam, when you greet, when you don't greet. There are detailed rulings. You could actually write a whole book and read a whole book on the rules and the laws of greeting, of salamu alaykum. Okay, you could do a 2-hour talk on the rules. I could go through all the rules, when it's makruh to do salam, when it's not makruh, and all the rules. You could have a whole dars, a discussion on it. But that's not our purpose in this daily dars that we have. We're just looking at etiquette. So briefly, we're discussing this etiquette today. Islam has given us this unique way of greeting one another, brothers and sisters. Don't take it lightly. Do not take it lightly. Number one, what do we say? The Shaykh is saying here, let me translate this first two lines. He says, look, when you enter your house or when you exit your house, say salam, sallim, fa'l, amr, command, greet, say salam. When you enter your house or when you leave, and especially when you enter, say salam to the people, to your family who are in the house, men and women, men or women. Greet them, say salam. And what do you say to them? What kind of greeting? With the, look what he says in Arabic, بِتَحِيَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعُنْوَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ. This is unique. He used this Arabic text, this phrase. He says, greet them with the greeting of the Muslims and the symbol, the unwan, the symbol, the flag, the symbol, the heading, the title of the Muslims, of Islam. Because this is, and what is this? He says, say to them, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When you greet your family members and other people, other Muslims around you, greet them. Greet them with what? Greet them with the greeting of Islam, with the symbol of Islam. This is actually a symbol, an icon. It's a sign of being a Muslim. Seriously, it's a sign of being a Muslim, saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And he says, do not move away from this Islamic greeting, this great, unique way of greeting one another, to other forms of greeting, like saying Sabah al-Khair in Arabic. Sabah al-Khair means good morning. Or saying Marhaban, hello. Don't say hello, hi. Or good morning, good evening, good afternoon. We as Muslims, we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He says, why? Because if you move away from this, if you don't say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and you move away to some other forms of greeting, then what will you be doing? You will be killing, imatatun, you will be erasing, or you will, I mean, the literal translation here is killing, but you will be exterminating this great greeting of the Muslims, this great sign of the Muslims, okay? Because you will be neglecting it, and it will become a means of it being forgotten. Whilst this form of Islamic greeting, say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, is the sign of Islam. It's a sign of the Muslims. It's the title, the heading, the symbol, the shi'ar of the Muslims, which has been fixed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's been recommended and prescribed. It's been prescribed by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Sharia, by Islam. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed this form of greeting for us by his biqawlihi wa fi'lihi, verbally and in action. Verbally as well, he mentioned many hadith that say salam, and even in his action. So brothers and sisters, this is a very important form of adab and etiquette. Unfortunately, many of us today have forgotten this. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That's the way we greet Muslims. It's a sign of being a Muslim. And why Allah has chosen this unique form of greeting. Look at, let me just explain this greeting to you. Many times we don't realize the importance or the background behind greetings. Okay? What do we say? We say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just think for one moment. Reflect. Ponder. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Amazing words. Unique words. It's only Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who would choose such a form of greeting. Subhanallah. Seriously, brothers and sisters. Nothing compared to it. Things like good morning, hello, hi, good afternoon, good evening, marhaban, namaste, I don't know, whatever. These words cannot never even be even close to this unique, amazing form of greeting. Just imagine, just look at this word. As-salam. You know, number one, salamu min asma'illahi ta'ala. Salam is from the names of Allah. You know the 99 names of Allah? Asma'ullahi al-husna. There are 99 names of Allah. Asma'ullahi al-husna. You know, the proper Arabic way of pronouncing this is Asma'ullahi al-husna. Some people say Asma'ullahu al-husna. It's incorrect. Asma'ullahi al-husna. Anyway, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم الملك القدوس. And then what? السلام. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم الملك القدوس السلام. سلام من أسماء الله تعالى, from the names of Allah. So we start off, we are doing ذكر of Allah. Reward. We receive reward for ذكر, for mentioning the name of Allah. As-salam, because it's one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the names of the Almighty. And then, it has the meaning of peace in it. It has the meaning of peace in it. As-salam, the peace, peaceful. You know, as-salam has the meaning of peacefulness in it. So when we say as-salamu alaykum, we say, peace be upon you. You are making dua. The angels are saying, Ameen. You are doing good to the other person. Right? You are making dua for that other person. You are saying to that person, As-salamu alaykum. May peace be upon you. May the peace of Allah fall on you. As-salamu alaykum. May the peace of Allah engulf you. Right? That's the dua that you're making for the person upon whom you are saying as-salam, or the one who you are greeting. So you say as-salamu alaykum. That's not only where you stop. Then you say wa rahmatullahi. And also, not just peace, but the mercy, the rahmah of Allah also comes to you. In Ramadan, you know the hadith, awwaluhu rahmah. وَأَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَآخِرُهُ عِتْقٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. The first part of Ramadan is rahmah. The middle part is forgiveness from the fire of hell. And the last part of Ramadan is trying to free yourself from the fire of hell. May Allah free all of us from the fire of hell. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Rahmah. We are أَوَّلُهُ رَحْمَةٌ. This 10 days, this first, you know, 10 days of the month of Ramadan are meant to gain the rahmah, the mercy of Allah. So when we say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, we are actually making dua. We are saying, oh Allah, please send, oh Allah, send your rahmah, your mercy upon this slave, this servant of yours. Subhanallah. And then we don't just stop there. And then what do we say? Wa barakatuhu. May the peace of Allah come to you. May the rahmah and mercy of Allah engulf you. And may Allah's blessings, barakah, barakat means blessings. That's what we say, you know, when we say, when we read, send blessings on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when we say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Then what do we say? Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. Barik. What does barik mean? Allah, oh Allah, bless. Normally we say salat and salam. We say salat and salam. Salam is when we say Allahumma sallim ala Muhammad. Allah send mercy on the peace on the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And barik is blessings. So we say wa barakatuhu. May Allah's blessings be upon you. We've made three du'as for that person in one sentence. When you meet someone, you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother. Straight away, subhanAllah, you made dua without that person requesting dua. That sister, without she requesting you to make dua for her, what have you done? You've just greeted her. Number one, you've mentioned Allah's name twice. You've said, As-salamu And then you said, wa rahmatullahi. You made a dhikr of Allah twice. You made three du'as for that person. Okay? You've said, Allah, may Allah's peace, may you have peace in your life. May your life be full of peace, full of rahmah, mercy, full of blessings. Three du'as. Subhanallah. And then what? They will respond to you. Remember, because they have to respond to you. So they will say, wa alaykumus salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And likewise, all the three du'as to you. So you've actually made du'a, three du'as for someone, and you've made the dhikr of Allah twice, and that person likewise was able, you became a cause of that person making du'a for you. And imagine, if you said salam to some extremely pious person whose du'as are accepted most of the times, more often than not, and the angel said Ameen and their dua was accepted, your life will be filled with rahmah, with blessings, with mercy, with peace. So this is a unique way of greeting. Okay, this is the unique way of greeting. And this is why a lot of emphasis has been given in Islam on salam. Okay? On greeting with this specific greeting of Islam. Allah says in the Quran, this has been mentioned clearly in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ سورة النور. Oh, you who believe, لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ. Do not enter any house which is not your house. Do not enter homes which are other than your homes. Okay? حَتَّى تَأْنِسُوا. Until you seek permission. And in terms of seeking permission, we have on the next page certain rules coming that making sure, which we'll inshallah maybe discuss in the next discourse, about making sure that when you enter somebody's house, somebody's room, we ask permission. But we're talking about salam here. So Allah says, O Muslims, O believers, لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا. Don't enter people's houses until you don't seek permission. وتسلموا على أهلها. And until you do not make salam, وتسلموا, until you don't greet them, وتسلموا على أهلها. And there are many other verses of the Quran as well. There's a hadith in the Sunan, in Sahih Muslim, where the companion Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated, he relates from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, La tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tu'minu. La tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tu'minu. Wa la tu'minu hatta tahabbu. Ala adullukum ala shay'in idha fa'altumuhu tahababtum. Afshu salama baynakum. This is a wonderful hadith. Wonderful hadith. I mean, all the hadith are wonderful anyway, subhanAllah. But this one is also, you know, one of the wonderful hadith of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We said, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We said the benefit is we are remembering Allah. We are making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala twice. We are giving three du'as, three supplications, three times we're making du'a for our fellow Muslim brother or sister. And likewise, we are being a cause of them making du'a for us. Okay? Another benefit mentioned in this hadith, which Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, relates, which Imam Muslim records in his Sahih. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You shall not enter paradise until you don't believe. We all want to enter paradise, right? Do you want to enter paradise? I do. We all want to. You will not enter paradise, Jannah, until you do not believe. And then he said, you will not believe, you will not be true believers until you don't love one another. حتى تحابوا. Subhanallah. Mutual love. Harmony is so important. I mean, this hadith, there are many hadiths, but look at this, the wording here, وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّوا. Subhanallah. That's not part of the hadith, subhanallah. Yeah, that's just half said that. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّوا. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you will never believe, you will never become a complete, total believer until you do not have mutual love. You don't have mahabba. You don't have love for one another. Anyway, I don't want to go into explaining that part because we are short of time. The next part, which is important, then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَبَبْتُمْ. Shall I not inform you? Shall I not tell you? Shall I not let you know of something that if you were to do it, you will actually start loving one another? Question mark. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked this question, and then he himself said to the companions and to us, he's saying, أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Shall I not tell you that if you of something that if you were to do it, you will start loving one another? And let me tell you what that is. And then he said, if you want to love one another, أَفْشُ السَّلَامُ, spread the word salam, spread assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah baynakum, amongst you. Subhanallah. So the hadith, what's the hadith saying? You can't enter Jannah until you don't believe. And you can't be true believers until you don't love one another. And you can't love one another until you don't spread salam. So start off with salam. If you always greet one another, you say salam to one another, you start, that will result in you having love for one another. And loving one another will result in you being true, correct believers. And in being correct believers, you shall enter paradise. This is the basic message of the hadith. And seriously, brothers and sisters, salam does remove a lot of barriers. It will help us, you know, it will help you love one another. So please, do not forget this important, greatly important teaching and guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Spread salam. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith, he said, you know, you do salam and you greet to ala man arafta wa man lam ta'rif, the one you know and the one you don't know. Whoever, any Muslim you see on the middle of the roads, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Don't say half short, you know, just like half time business or quarter time, assalamu alaikum, or just don't. What is it going to take? A few more seconds? Say the full thing. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he mentioned that the one who said the full, he received the full rewards, maximum reward. He said, ashara, 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 10, 10, 10. If you say assalamu alaikum, just one third of the reward. You say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you get two thirds of the reward. Why should we miss out? Why do we want to miss out from maximum rewards? So don't be stingy, don't be miserly, okay? Say the full thing, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, to anyone, to the one you know, the one you don't know, okay? I mean, there are rules, of course. There are certain times and places you should not be saying, like, for example, if somebody is busy in recitation of the Quran, you don't say salam. If somebody is in the toilet, you don't say salam. Somebody is eating busy, you don't say salam. Of course, there are rules about men and women saying salam to one another, gender interaction. There are rules, and I don't want to go into those rules, but there are rules. Generally, you know, you would not be saying salam to somebody from the opposite gender. So there are rules. But besides those rules, I'm saying, you know, in a general sense, it will really bring about mutual love and harmony amongst Muslims. Start off. And the problem today, brothers and sisters, is that many of us, we don't want to say salam. We see people on the middle of the road and we see, oh, he's from that group and he's from that mosque and he's from that masjid and he's from this group, he's from that group. A'udhu billah, how low have we become? He lives in that part of Leicester and she lives in that part of Evington, or she's in Highfield. Is this mosque and that mosque? A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah, a'udhu billah, astaghfirullah, thumma astaghfirullah. I mean, that's so, you know, subhanallah, what can you say? So childish, so absolute childish behavior. We look at someone, we're reserved, grumpy, yeah, you know, giving some dirty looks. If somebody is looking at you, then you look at them from the corner of your eye, and then suddenly when they look at you, you move your eyes away. Oh, he's from that mosque, you know, I'm from this mosque. Inna al-masajid lillah, brothers and sisters, all mosques belong to Allah. It's not this mosque and that mosque. You say salam to anyone. Okay, just this is something we need to remove from our societies. And until we don't, we will not be successful. Seriously, brother and sister, we will not be successful. Islam teaches us not to be reserved, not to be somebody who's grumpy and reserved. Open up, smile, look at people, say salam to them, greet them with warmth, with affection. Do musafaha. Musafaha is you know, stretch your arms, hands out, shake their hands. This is what Islam teaches. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when somebody used to shake his hands, لا ينزع يده حتى يكون الذي أخذ يده هو الذي. I mean, I can't remember the actual Arabic, the hadith, but what the hadith is saying, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when somebody would greet him, he would never move his hands away until the one who was greeting him was the one who moved his hands away first. He would leave his hands. Subhanallah. These are the manners of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not that, you know, oh, I am a scholar or I am a person of knowledge. Why should I say salam first? He should say salam first. Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not like that. How can you get a better person than the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam today? He was the first person who would say salam. The hadith says, "Al-badi'u bis-salami bari'un min al-kibr." The one who greets first, the one who says salam first, is the one who is free from pride, from arrogance. If I wait for others to make salam to me, then that means I have pride and arrogance in me. Well, what are you going to lose, brother, sister, in saying salam? Even if you have, you know, that something between you and that other person, just start off with salam. You know, there's a beautiful verse in the Quran. Allah says, it's a beautiful verse, that, you know, idfa as-sayya bil-hasana. I can't remember the first part of it. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ أَعْدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Beautiful verse. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in that verse? He says to us that, look, you know when somebody does wrong to you, if there's something going on negatively between you and someone else, there's something in the air, there's some problems or something there, always return good with, return evil and bad with good. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was never rude to people. He would return the rudeness of others with good from himself. That's how he became beloved. He would return the rudeness with goodness. Okay? So Allah is saying that return other people's bad behavior, ill behavior, wickedness, and their evilness with good from you, with hasana, with good from you. What will happen? You will see the benefits of that. This is the part in the Quran. Allah is saying that you will see the benefit that suddenly, you know, the one who is your great enemy, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ, that person between you and whom there's some kind of enmity and some dispute, it will become as so suddenly he's your closest friend. Seriously, and I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there are people who've said this to me, and I've experienced this. You know, if there's something in the air with someone, you just go down, just bow down, just be extra nice to them. Always when you see them, say salam alaikum, smile, shake their hands, greet their hands, be warm, affectionate towards them, okay? And always just be extra good, even if they are reserved and giving you the eye and looking at you in a negative way, and they, you know, let them do that. You do, you know, you just be so jolly and so nice and really warm. Remember, never sarcastically. That's wrong. Okay, with the right intention, just be extra warm towards them. So, wallahi, by Allah, brother and sister, you will see the difference in a matter of a few weeks. It's in the Quran. That's what Allah is saying. This, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. She will become like your closest friend. So you start off with salam. This is what the etiquette is saying. Salam is the greeting of the Muslims. The Messenger sallallahu, and then I will just end this two hadiths which the author has mentioned here in the book. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught his khadim, his servant, Anas radiallahu anhu, and he says, Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says, قَالَ لِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said to me, يَا بُنَيَّ, O my beloved son, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ عَلَى أَهْلِكَ فَسَلِّمْ, when you enter upon your family, when you go to your house, say salam. Greet them with salam. يَكُونُ بَرَكَةً عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى أَهْلِكَ, this will be a form of a means of barakah, a means of blessings for you as well as your family. This is a hadith in Sunan Tirmidhi. Another benefit is when we say salam, it brings about barakah and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says the final paragraph, 2-3 lines. Qala Qatada, Qatada, rahimahullah, one of the great prominent tabi'een, scholar from the Tabi'een. He says, when you enter your house, greet your family. When you enter your house, greet your family. Say salam to them. Because they are the most worthy of being greeted. And Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is the final hadith here, إِذَا انْتَهَى أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى الْمَجْلِسِ فَلْيُسَلِّمْ. When one of you joins a gathering, let that person say salam. You know, when there's a group of people sitting, as long as I said, they're not eating or they're not absolutely busy in teaching or studying or reading the Quran or something. If there's a gathering, majlis, people are sitting and you enter and you join them, فَلْيُسَلِّمْ. You should say salam. فَإِذَا أَرَادَ أَن يَقُومَ فَلْيُسَلِّمْ. And when you want to leave, you should say salam. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَلَيْسَتِ الْأُولَى بِأَحَقَّ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ. The first one is no less important than the second. You know, when you come to the gathering, is not more important than the salam when you leave. Both are equally important. When you enter a gathering, say salam. When you leave a gathering, say salam. This is a hadith recorded by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and this is where the author ends. Finally, as I said, there are a lot of rules and etiquettes and laws about salam. It's good to learn those rules and etiquettes of salam, when you can't say salam, when you can say salam. Just one etiquette that or one rule, and I will end with this rule that I've just that's just come to mind, is that when somebody says assalamu alaikum to us, it's wajib, it becomes necessary for us to respond. Now, the amount that they've said to us, that much amount, it becomes necessary for us to respond. So if somebody says to us, assalamu alaikum, it's necessary, wajib, for us to say at least wa alaikum assalam. Otherwise, we'll be sinful. If we say extra, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then we'll receive more reward and bonus. If somebody says to us, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, then until wa rahmatullah, we have to say wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. More is bonus. And if somebody said to us the full assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, then it becomes wajib and necessary for us to respond by saying wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So this was the etiquette, the importance of saying salam. So inshallah, from today, brothers and sisters, we need to act upon this. Just make a firm intention, resolution. Whenever you see a Muslim brother, sister, say salam to them. And there are rules about greeting non-Muslims, but that's not the topic here. And you know, we are not supposed to use the... We can greet non-Muslims in a nice way. You can say good morning, hello, smile at them, everything. But the only ruling with non-Muslims is that we don't use this specific term, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, because that is restricted for Muslims. There are many reasons why, because of which this is restricted for Muslims, but you can still greet them. Greeting is not a problem, inshallah. So I end with this. Jazakallah khair for listening. May Allah reward you for listening to me. May Allah give us the tawfiq, the ability to practice on what we've said and we've learned, and we continue to learn, inshallah. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. Tomorrow is, a pledge day for charities. So Sunday I will miss tomorrow, and then I'll be back with you on Monday 6:30 with this program, this dars, this talk on the manners and etiquettes of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts, our fasting, our qiyam, our praying, our du'as, our worship, and inshallah make du'a just before iftar. Jazakallah khair. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.